The Supreme Court ruled today that purchasing a ticket to a sporting event gives a citizen the right to act like a complete The decision is being hailed as a landmark for drunk fans, or as Justice Scalia wrote in the majority opinion, citizens who work long hours to pay for these tickets and who deserve to drink a few beers and just cut loose for a change, am I right? Supporters celebrated the decision outside the Supreme Court.
Now every time someone gives me trouble, when I try to do what I want to do with the money I paid, I'll be like, that's my right!
The ruling stems from a lawsuit brought against the National Football League by Jim Weiss, a 43-year-old Patriots fan who claimed he was unfairly removed from Gillette Stadium after dumping beer on a baby wearing a Jets bib.
That was some clutch court stuff they did in there. Now I'm going to print it out and shove it up the usher's ass next time I'm at the stadium.
Already, stadiums and arenas are bracing for a surge in entitled jackass behavior.
You know, opening day in 2 weeks, we've got 30,000 feet of tarp to lay down before the urine starts flying. We're basically just going to put hand sanitizer everywhere and hope for the best.
There are some fans who oppose the decision. Members of this group, the Some People Come to Watch the Game Coalition, who claim wild drunk fans will make it difficult to take important phone calls during games.
We have every right to sit in the front row, talk with clients, and leave the game early.
Just because there's a big play doesn't give people the right to stand up and block our view.
Those guys should shut up. It's a game, not a wedding.
Yeah, love it when you tell people to shut up.
Injection, fellas.
The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way, when there is no sun to light the way. They told me it was incorrect to say that I died. They said what actually happened is I had a near-death experience and I was protected. And I don't pray to the Son of Man, I pray to the God that the Son of Man prayed to. I pray to the God that created the sun, you dig? I pray to the God that created all the suns, moons, and stars, you heard? I pray to the one that is and always will be, all that is and never was, the solitary, authentic whole in any and all existence, the only proper use of the concept one. And the Creator has a master plan, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and when I said I don't believe in hell, I was technically correct because I didn't believe it, but now I've seen it, so I have to receive it. In fact, to be accurate, I've seen a few of them, and I'm not talking about hell on earth, and anyone who perpetuates hell on earth will eventually learn that the actual hells wax far, far worse. And if you want to know if you're living right here, I can actually explain it to you simply right here. All you have to do is give and receive love, place nothing above God and your family, recognize you're just a reflection of God's love, so there could be no use for big egos or petty vanity. And celebrities are like meaningless sex because often they're just distractions. And if you believe I've achieved any level of success, then you too should study the laws of attraction. And conversely, when celebrities try to sell our children on self-hate, it's them same laws of attraction that magnetize us to want to smack them. And you can tell them I'm very easy to find online. My tour schedule is always available at TalamAC.com, you heard? But if they approach me and know not God, then their brags about crime best have been true word for me, no word. What if this is God's work is a rhetorical question, and I pray to the God that manifests beyond X, Y, Z, and T axes. I pray to the God that manifests in infinite dimensions, the one that controls descent and ascension, the one that controls darkness and light, the one that controls opaque and translucent. And my frenemies keep telling me not to do it. Don't tell people to pray to the one indivisible God when they've already been taught to pray to Christ. But like the last poet said, time is running out, and our situation is too seriously urgent for any of us to not be teaching right. And if you think I'm teaching wrong, I'm open-minded, and that's your choice. And if you really believe it, you should hit the streets and spread your gospel and your voice. But I don't get to tell people to pray to a man and a ghost. And if my frenemies don't like it, it's okay. Because like Stevie Wonder said, they won't go when I go. In fact, when they go, they probably won't go where I go. Armageddon is not moving slowly. I was created by God to praise God, and men were trained by men to pray to a man, and Armageddon is ensuing more rapidly, and apocalypse is ensuing more rapidly, and cataclysm is ensuing more rapidly, and the sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, there is hell to pay. And I wasn't given harmony or melody. I was given symphony with timpani drums. And if he simply comes in peace and love, then we'll essentially become what teachers are of and eventually get to strum a chord that reaches above and leave it to future poets to herald the sum of what each of us was. So what I gotta do? What I gotta say, when I gotta break, where I gotta take, why I gotta prove parlance and cadence to make them all stare at me like Edgar Allan Poe's Raven. They don't even know what I be saying, but they think I'm popular, so they copy what I be saying. And I get it from the source, so I just be obeying, and they could even approach me in my sleep. I can still tell when to stop and when to start, because I can feel when the pressures in their heart say win. All true fear says lose. All true belief says win. Jinyame, God and fear do not occupy the same space, and living love is the message is our job. And if you've ever felt any twinge of fears, because none of us ever was or ever will be God, but if you're full of fear, go. Just recognize what you've been offered is modern meditation for focus. And when you see me looking at the sky, I'm looking past the sky. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, we pull together. Harambe, when there is no sun to light the way, we honor life. Ife, when there is no sun to light the way, there is no day. There is no day. It is so. Ashe.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The number of synthetic chemicals added to our environment increases in the sense of new ones, of several hundred thousand a year, of which 1,000 or so become in commercial use. But most of them are put in commercial use without adequate testing. So in a sense, we are using the population as a guinea pig, because the tests often are carried out while the substance is being consumed or being released into the environment.
This program is about the spread of chemicals in the man-made and natural environments, and the immediate health and long-range genetic effects of such chemicals, the most deadly form of pollution. The topic was much discussed during the Stockholm meetings. The voice you heard at the start was that of Dr. Jack Schubert, professor of radiation chemistry at the Graduate School of Public Health, University of Pittsburgh. While discussing the genetic effects of chemicals, he warned in his presentation about the double deadliness of chemicals unintentionally piled one on top of the other in our environment.
And then what is more serious, you cannot set levels for one chemical and say we can reach that level for DDT or lead because we are a factor of 5 or 10 or 100 below it, because we are exposed to a combination of chemicals. And you cannot allow each chemical to reach its maximum level. You have to have a maximum level for combinations. And this is more not just a matter of theory, because we know that certain chemicals in combination produce harmful effects which are not manifested by the chemicals when tested alone. For example, susceptibility to infection in certain experimental animals, rats and mice. You may give an animal a staphylococcus infection of a level which does nothing, no deaths, no apparent harm. Also, feed them DDT at levels corresponding to those in the human body with no effect. Yet, if you challenge an animal with the DDT with an infection, you find that the animal suffers, some may die, some get ill, they lose weight. Then, many of the chemicals to which we're exposed are of a type which our bodies have not learned to handle. The DNA, which is our basic hereditary material, is the same whether we're speaking of a fly or a man, elephant, or any other type of living being. However, DNA over the years has learned to adjust to certain chemicals. It can repair damage and so on. But many of these synthetic chemicals are a new type which the body has not adjusted to. The enzymes cannot necessarily deal with it. The DNA cannot deal with it. And so these can lead to effects, bad effects. However, we cannot say whether we've had bad effects or not, because simply the truth is that we have not had any studies on populations that we can definitely say this chemical is harmful. As a matter of fact, it's nearly impossible to carry out such epidemiological studies since we're already exposed to such a high level of potentially harmful chemicals. And we already have such a high level of certain diseases that, let us say, an increase of 10% could not be detected unless we had a controlled study involving millions of people, which is nearly impossible. So we must go by animal experiments. But even then, this is time-consuming and costly. Another problem we deal with is that people seem to think, And many medical people and scientists think that genetic effects are theoretical, something that happens, that may happen 1,000 years from now, and by that time we will be able to do some genetic engineering. But the fact of the matter is that at the present time, our populations can hardly cope with the number of diseases that are now caused fully or partially by genetic factors. And we must have ways of testing and screening chemicals so that such chemicals which may increase the mutagenic or genetic deleterious effects would not be released to the population. Otherwise, we could have a genetic catastrophe.
Scientists in Hawaii and Istanbul have created rabbits that glow in the dark. The two transgenic rabbits were born earlier this month at the University of Istanbul. The Turkish researchers used an active transgenesis technique developed by medical researchers at the University of Hawaii in Manoa. Under regular light, the rabbits look white, just like their siblings. But when it's dark, the pair glow in a vivid shade of green. During their embryonic phase, all 8 rabbits were injected with a fluorescent protein from jellyfish DNA. The embryos were then placed back into the mother rabbit, and when the litter was born, 2 of the babies carried the glowing gene. While the pair were not the first glow-in-the-dark bunnies produced in a lab, they were the first using this technique. The researchers say this could lead to efficient ways to produce medicines for humans.
Concern in the Florida Keys over this tiny pest, the Aedes aegypti, the mosquito that carries dreaded dengue fever.
That would have laid thousands and thousands of eggs.
A painful disease that can occasionally cause death.
It's not a mosquito that's out in the swamps that we can just go out and treat a swamp. It's a kind of mosquito that lays its eggs in cryptic breeding places.
The idea, to cut down the population by introducing millions of male mosquitoes that have been genetically modified at this lab near Oxford, England.
This is birth control for insects. We will release males, because males do not bite or spread disease. They will mate with females, and those offspring will not survive.
But in the Florida Keys, where mosquito control is such a big deal that candidates actually compete for the Mosquito Control Board, there is opposition.
It could be that this is fine and it's a wonderful idea, but there's an awful lot of secrecy going on.
Others have launched an online petition. More than 100,000 have signed so far, worried about safety and the effect on tourism.
What is going to be the real price tag? Could you travel to a place that they have They experiment with genetically modified mosquitoes?
The words genetically modified scare people. It's a buzzword, but we believe what we're doing is definitely more environmentally friendly.
Officials say using modified mosquitoes is far safer than the only alternative, chemical spraying in the nooks and crannies that the Aedes aegypti mosquito likes to hide in. Officials are seeking approval from the Food and Drug Administration to begin a trial in Key West. Other genetically modified insects have been approved in the U.S., but never ones that bite people.
Farmers in the United States have grown genetically engineered crops since the late 1990s. Now, a federal agency is deciding whether to let a genetically modified animal into the food supply for the first time. A company, Aqua Bounty Technologies, has developed the AquaAdvantage salmon. The fish is an Atlantic salmon that contains genes from two other kinds of fish, ocean pout and Chinook salmon. With these genes, it can grow twice as fast as a wild Atlantic salmon. The company says the fish does not taste or smell any different from other salmon. The Food and Drug Administration says there would be no need for special labeling if the salmon is found to have the same basic contents as other fish.
Welcome to Food Investigations. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with NaturalNews.com. I'm the same guy that brought you the story about the fake blueberries in blueberry muffins and blueberry cereals. Well, today we're going to take a closer look at what's in your McDonald's food. I'm standing in the parking lot of a McDonald's restaurant in Austin, Texas, and we're going to order some chicken McNuggets and a Big Mac and put it under a high-powered microscope to take a really close look at what's in your food.
I'll take some chicken McNuggets and a Big Mac. And is that the only size McNuggets you have?
We got the 20.
Oh no, I don't think I can handle 20.
Well, that's the biggest.
I guess 10 is enough.
All right, we made it home and now we're gonna check out the chicken McNuggets with some safety gloves. These are the nuggets right here. You've seen these before because there are only three basic shapes. That right there is kind of scary. But now we're going to put them under the high-powered digital microscope and check out what's really inside Chicken McNuggets.
We began our investigation by looking at the surface of the Chicken McNuggets, then zooming in to get more detail. At high magnification, we began to notice mysterious fibers. across the surface, as well as some unusual color, such as this red color, which appears to be some sort of food coloring agent. We decided to dig deeper by opening the chicken McNugget to find out what was inside. There, we began to see shapes reminiscent of an alien landscape. Nothing resembled chicken in my mind. Watch as we zoom in on this image. I've never seen chicken look transparent. With the help of the high-tech digital microscope at the Natural News Forensic Food Labs, we were able to alter the plane of observation even at high magnification so we can see the texture of this chicken McNugget landscape. The more we looked, the more seemingly strange things we began to discover across these chicken McNuggets, including strange blue objects with fibers. We also found dark-looking splotches and weird shapes that raised questions. But by far the strangest things we found were unexplained fibers that appear to resemble hairs. All the hair-like fibers we found seem to be embedded in the mass of the McNugget. Here's another one with odd endings. And here's a third found next to some mysterious red coloring. These fibers intrigued me so much that I attempted to remove one of them. This is me using a pair of fine tweezers to try to remove this one embedded hair-like fiber. Here are some of the other scenes of what we found inside the chicken McNuggets. We also located a green spherical object that actually looks like algae. Nowhere did we find anything that really looked like chicken. Here's what chicken looks like. We acquired this at a local Mexican restaurant that used real chicken, not processed chicken. Back to the chicken McNugget. My advice is to look more closely at what you eat before you eat it, and ask questions about where your food really comes from and what's in it. You may be shocked to find you're eating far more than you bargained for.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. She's breaking her political silence.
That's a loaded crap.
Hillary Clinton now on the record about the defense of voting rights.
Why is this so controversial?
Individuals are trying to systematically eliminate individuals from having the ability to vote.
What's the reason for the opposition?
The goal among Democrats has been pretty clear. If you are being racist, if you seek voter ID laws.
Anyone who says that racial discrimination is no longer a problem in American elections must not be paying attention.
What should we pay particular attention to?
The more important news at hand. Glow in the dark bunny rabbits.
Cute pants. Adorable
details on the brand new high-speed train. It promises to get you there faster than flying.
And that's what that's all about.
Anyway,
how important is it that she come out on this issue as she looks to run potentially for 2016?
Well, we're all assuming that Hillary Clinton's going to be running for president.
Everything she says these days is going to be viewed through a political prism.
Will Clinton run in 2016?
Oh my goodness, yes.
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it could be a presidential campaign.
Quack, quack, quack.
Is a Duck Dynasty star planning a possible run for Congress?
Where are we going here?
Well, we finally got them duck pickers.
Good.
Republican strategists want Willie Robertson to run for the seat. A special election will be held to fill that open seat representing the state's 5th district, which just happens to include Robertson's home city.
I don't even know what to say about that.
How dare you?
We have to now do some news.
So we've got the serious part of this, and then we've got the Hooters part. Let's start with the serious part.
Okay, so let's talk about Hillary Clinton if we can.
Hillary.
Cut that stuff out.
Right.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. Cory Booker.
Cruising to the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate in New Jersey.
Commanding victory. Clear majority.
After his victory, Booker addressed his supporters.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
Booker now faces Republican Steve Lonigan.
He's been anointed by Hollywood. The Hollywood elite have descended from their penthouse apartments in the Bel Air Hotel.
Moving on to awkward now. San Diego Mayor Bob Filner.
Our guy.
Yeah.
No chicken wings for you.
What's Bobby up to?
Well, hold on.
He's banned from Hooters restaurant in San Diego.
Got a bad case of loving you.
If he's lost Hooters, he's lost San Diego.
I'm laughing at Hooters right now, actually. I'm just moving on. It's stupid.
All right, and back to this.
Oh my gosh, somebody making fun of a president?
I know I'm a clown. He just run around acting like one.
Some in the crowd were amused, others were outraged.
Was that out of line or no big deal?
That clown was banned for life.
Oh, this is so silly.
We've seen this before. A dummy with a George Bush mask.
Scooping up horse poop in Reagan mask.
The crowd cheered.
Certainly everyone has a right to free speech. I'm not highly offended. I just think you can make a better joke.
There's a clown at a Kinko's right now writing up a resume hoping to get another job.
Is that an overreaction? Is that the right reaction? So we're discussing it.
U.S. President Barack Obama hit the golf course on Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts on Sunday, where he's holidaying with his family. It's rare, but the pool of photographers and reporters following Obama were allowed to watch him finish the first hole as he teed off with aides. But that was probably the wrong decision, mainly as his golf game was a bit off. He chipped onto the green about 3 meters past the hole. His first putt had a chance but missed left. It took two more putts from there to close out the hole. Maybe he's finding it hard to relax and enjoy his golf because in addition to his family being there, Obama also brought a small group of staff. They're there to keep him up to date on national and foreign events, including his national security advisor, Susan Rice. So it's a bit more of a working holiday then.
What was he thinking? You know, photographers don't have an open door to take pictures of the president whenever they want. It's all staged and choreographed with Secret Service standing by. So this is not spontaneous. So why would the president do this for the cameras? It's one thing to take a vacation, but is this pose shoving it down the throats of the American people? Remember, many of them are out of work. They can't afford to spend the day working on their golf game in one of the most expensive places in America to vacation. Is this what leadership looks like?
My, once again, with your
Israel builds a new settlement to hold Palestinian peace talks. A report finds that the Washington Redskins name is only offensive if you think about what it means, and a dog is unaware it isn't starving. Allow me to introduce the three-time nominee of the Jacob R. Langley Award for Best Online Video News Recap. This is The Onion Week in Review. This week, Egypt's death toll skyrocketed to over 525 in the country's inspiring march toward democracy. Sources confirmed Thursday that Egypt's ongoing path to progress, which has also left well over 3,000 injured, is expected to only further lead the Middle Eastern nation into a new era of prosperity and result in hundreds more killed by the end of the month. After 7 years of research, scientists at the University of California announced this week that they had finally completed an extensive project to pronounce the human genome. Lead researcher Timothy Yancey explained the findings to The Onion.
Well, after some false starts, we're now able to conclusively say that the human genome is pronounced that last part wasn't quite right. It's actually
a report released this week by the Brookings Institution confirmed that some shirts are good and other shirts are not good. The research, conducted over a 10-year period, concluded that the average American has 5 to 7 good shirts and 8 or more not good shirts, and explained that this is a good shirt, this is a bad shirt, and this is a fine shirt.
Our research shows that people hang their good shirts on hangers, but they don't usually hang their bad shirts. Good shirts can be white, yellow, blue, green, red, or plaid. Bad shirts can also be white, yellow, blue, green, red, or plaid. For example, this shirt I'm wearing right now is a decent shirt. It's just fine.
The report also concluded that there are no good pants. And in local news, a man taking a photo with his iPad is oblivious to how badass he looks. In other news, a gorilla won't stop saying gorilla in sign language. The cast of Expendables 3 requests payment in steroids and meat. And a bigoted asshole makes the best barbecue. Okay, enough is enough.
Government is increasingly keeping its actions, plans, and agendas secret from the general public. Even for those of us trying to find the truth, you have to scrape your way through a deluge of liaria, a river of obfuscation and visual masturbation. But knowing the tactics involved in the government's ability to cover up their actions is important. You can't bake a pie without knowing where the eggs are. Is that an expression? It takes two pie bakers to tango without cracking some heads. First off, the government has been hiding judicial rulings even from Congress. For example, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court oversees all NSA spying bullshit that goes on, and generally it just rubber stamps any and all spying. What's that? You want to give an American citizen a surprise colonoscopy? Sure! That's a reasonable search and seizure. Go to town. The FISA court has only turned down 0.3% of requests, but they did issue an 86-page opinion saying at least some of the surveillance is unconstitutional. What are the details of that report? We don't know, because it's kept more secret than what kind of aliens Tom Cruise thinks started mankind. The government won't even allow Congress to see the f***ing opinion. Hey guys, gloves are off. Turns out even if the courts rule us unconstitutional, we don't have to tell anyone about it. Yeah, go nuts. Yeah. You can rub your ass in the coleslaw. Doesn't matter. Go ahead. Next, the government has been steadily increasing the number of documents marked classified, never revealed to the American public. In the year 2000, 11 million documents were kept secret. In 2012, 95 million. Let's think about that logically. That increase in secrecy either means we suddenly have a lot more military secrets that would make Kim Jong-un jizz himself if he got his hands on them, or it means the government is becoming less and less by the people, and instead by an elite group of wealthy kleptocrats who don't want us meddling around in their business. And in a lot of ways, I understand. Think about it. If you had a highly successful criminal enterprise, would you want people poking around in it? No. So I have a little f***ing sympathy. The golden rule, man. Treat others how you would have them treat you. If you were a millionaire criminal who wanted to take the world with you when you died. And speaking of keeping things secret from Congress, the largest international trade deal ever is currently being negotiated, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And not only is it highly classified, but if Congress wants to see it, they have to make an appointment, can't take notes or photos, can't bring any staffers, can't write anything down, and if it were possible to demand they only look at it while being pepper sprayed, I'm pretty sure that would be a rule too. Representative Alan Grayson did go see the document. If you haven't heard of Grayson, he's one of the guys on Team Good Guy in Congress. That team consists of Alan Grayson, a stapler, and a janitor named Billy, who's worked there for 45 years. Grayson said the trade deal essentially gives sovereignty of our country over to corporations. So what's there to hide from the public? Oh, maybe the fact that it gives sovereignty of our country over to corporations. So that's why they claim they can't reveal the document to the public, because of national security. The document gives away our national security. Anyway, that's just a sampling of how our government is becoming more and more secretive. And of course, none of this competes with the general bread and circuses for helping the power elite get away with shit. A Jennifer Aniston baby bump does more to cover up the dark truth than just about anything. I wonder if the Kanye West Kim Kardashian baby was a false flag. Has anyone checked to see if that thing's animatronic? Grassroots movements are rarely in existence. They get controlled and pigeonholed by the very same opposition. I can't believe you ain't canceling your subscription. You fell victim to the fraudulent two-party system. They both owned by the offshore banks. If you don't get on board with that, you walk the plank, point blank. They neutering the men, giving them estrogen. It's Nazi Germany on crack, steroids, and mescaline. They're pirates operating under a different law. Maritime admiralty, brother, is getting raw. School children getting put up against the wall for mandatory vaccines, which show them things against the law. Ain't it a shame, all the games they play? Patriots under surveillance with some names they say. It's all controlled by blackmail and prostitution. You're about to see a real revolution. Wake up, boy, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word revolution. The only unregulated private entity on the planet, this private super secret bank, is the most secret aspect in all of the government. The time has come to bring you back to us now, like the prodigal son. Surely we can't stop fighting till we move as one, in mind and purpose, straight to our victory, certain over the man behind the curtain. So we reach out to wake up those willing to speak out and take action before we get the camps and the rations. Good and evil clashing in the 21st century. Make your choice now. Will you be a friend or an enemy of the true revolution against wicked institutions? They done set up the rulers. The evidence plentiful. Just read what they plan to do to us. In short, remove us from the planet. But we rock with the home court advantage. We done kicked off the revolution, now we expanded. Perpetrators of crimes against humanity reprimanded and punished. We're to go follow the sound of feet running, and follow the sound of truth spitting like machine gunning. Boy, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the streets and the sound of running feet, and they whisper. Time, commit war crimes until the people uprise. And he ain't lying, we just trying to get you elevated. That church is faking and Satan is getting celebrated. They bombarding your brain with thoughts from the idiot box. A race to the bottom on your mark, but we too smart. And we won't fall once the movement starts to snowball. Nuremberg 2, who'll be on the roll call? Please tell them. The last 9 administrations. Using them Nazi strategies, cares for concentration of populations. And illegal wars on nations. Now that's treason. To bring global government in due season. That's why they argue that a carbon tax is needed. But they do to fail, the revolution can't be defeated. Boy, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word revolution.
Wake up. Patriot. patriotic start to the day.
Breaking news coming out of Egypt this morning.
President Obama will make a statement on the crisis in Egypt.
I'm looking forward to hearing what the president has to say.
What should he say going forward?
Any indication at this point about what we're going to hear?
Well, I don't know.
We have a news flash coming across the wires from the pool reporters. The pool can see a small vegetable and flower garden and fruit trees.
Kristen, we talked to you about 5 minutes ago. What more can you tell us?
I suspect he was briefed.
The president should come out and say, I think, what he has been saying.
I don't know exactly what he'll say in the speech.
The president's statement's likely to be completely incoherent.
The United States strongly condemns the steps that have been taken by Egypt's interim government.
It makes perfect sense.
We are canceling our biannual joint military exercise.
Is there a good side and a bad side in Egypt right now, Barack?
We don't take sides with any particular party or political figure.
What does the president want? What does the United States want?
Vacation.
Vacation.
President Obama from Martha's Vineyard.
Where he's vacationing.
I would have picked Yellowstone National Park.
No.
Let's focus on Obama's policies, not his choice of vacation.
Yes, absolutely.
He wants a democratic path for Egypt and an all-inclusive government. That is why the United States supported a coup, even though the administration doesn't say that's what they did.
Were you happy with what you just heard?
We did not hear him use the word coup.
We mentioned this word coup.
I'm the victim of a coup.
Remember when the coup happened?
The White House has refused to call the military ouster of President Morsi a coup.
Because that has certain legal ramifications with regard to U.S. aid.
Oh, yeah.
The big question now, what can the U.S. do?
Well, we want to sustain our relationship with Egypt. The Egyptian people deserve better.
As the news broke on Egyptian television, the level of violence was clear. Tear gas flew through the air as Egyptian security forces started clearing out at least one pro-Morsi protest camp in Cairo. State TV reported that the police moved in the early hours of this morning. According to a Muslim Brotherhood spokesman, 30 protesters were killed, although this hasn't been confirmed. Helicopters could be seen flying over the scene, and army vehicles were stationed nearby as protesters took to the streets. The sit-in camp was located on the west bank of the Nile near Cairo University, and clashes between police and demonstrators continued throughout the morning. Divided. Egypt is braced for more violence today after the Muslim Brotherhood called for a nationwide march of millions. They want their supporters to show anger following this week's ferocious crackdown on Islamist protesters that killed hundreds. Defying criticism from major Western allies, Egypt's army-backed government warned it would turn its guns on anyone who attacked the police or public institutions. More than 600 people died and thousands more were wounded on Wednesday when police cleared out two protest camps in Cairo. They were set up to denounce the military overthrow of Egypt's first freely elected president, Mohamed Morsi. In calling for a Friday of anger, the Muslim Brotherhood used the same name as that given to the most violent day of the 2011 uprising against the former president, Hosni Mubarak. Thank you.
This amateur footage, uploaded to a social media website, appears to show protesters in Asmalia walking towards a line of army tanks. Many of them are reaching their hands into the air, appearing to be forming V for victory signs. Then, one of the protesters standing close to the line of tanks appears to be hit by live fire and falls to the ground. Islamist protests descended into a bloodbath across Egypt on Friday. 173 people were killed on a day of rage called by followers of ousted President Mohamed Morsi to denounce a crackdown by the army-backed government. Aerial footage was shot over Cairo on Wednesday night after a day of violent clashes which left hundreds of people dead in Egypt's worst violence since war with Israel in 1973. Thick smoke rises from burning vehicles on the road. Egyptian security forces opened fire on the protest camps of thousands of supporters of the deposed Islamist president Mohamed Morsi. A state of emergency has now been declared for 1 month.
Today is August 17, 2013, and it looks like we are about, 1, 2, 3 weeks away plus 4 days away from September 11, 2013. And we have been tracking what I call the 911 fear-based mind control program. We've been tracking the stories that are associated with this particular program, and we're going to continue to talk about that here today. Again, today is August 17, 2013, and our topics for today, of course, media manipulation, the 911 fear-based mind control program, and terror threat propaganda. But first, I want to thank you so much for tuning on in. I do appreciate your presence. How are you doing? Hope you're doing well. I'm doing fine. My family's doing wonderful. You know, one of the things I've really been thinking about is the quality, and I think about this all the time, but the quality of my life experience. And I want you to ask the question about your life experience right now. There's a reason why. We'll get to the reason why I'm asking you these questions. But you know, I want to ask the first question. I want you to think about this. Do you want a better life experience? This is transcending media manipulation. Why are we talking about life experience? Well, in part because our life experience is often dictated by mass media. Did y'all know that? I was talking today with the host today for the radio show, and he was talking about how mass media would have us believe that you know, the only thing that's taking place on the planet is horrible things. And it's so true. It's just all about war, death, destruction, war and gore. And we have to ask the question, do we want a better life experience? It's difficult to have a life experience that is better when we're kind of stuck in this perpetual state of, you know, negativity. And so I want to ask y'all the question here, if you don't mind, you know, do you want a better life experience? The other question that comes to mind I've been thinking about too is it possible to have a better life experience while we are inundated with traumatizing information? And I'm going to propose y'all that it is quite difficult to be able to have a better life experience than you currently have if you're inundated, meaning that you're receiving a whole lot of traumatizing information. And understand that most of the traumatizing information, it doesn't necessarily come from your immediate space. It usually comes from the mainstream and alternative media, mainstream and alternative news in particular. I think this is something we need to be very clear about, that a lot of the traumatization that is taking place for us on an everyday basis is media contrived, meaning media is what is traumatizing us with stories about death and destruction and Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and potential terror threats and all this stuff, and much of which is simply fabricated. It's not based upon evidence or proof whatsoever. Now there's a story about breast implant suicide bombs. Did y'all hear what I just said? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to that article later. Breast implants suicide bomb threat. Heathrow on high alert over credible intelligence. Here we go again. Credible intelligence. And what is put intelligence? What they're saying is credible information. Well, what is that credible information? Do we have any supportive documents? No. Do we have anyone saying this in a named official? No. It's simply contrived. It's made up. But it's credible. This is nothing more than part of what I call the 911 fear-based mind control programming, the triggering of the trauma of September 11th. The closer we get to September 11th, 2013, the more traumatizing stories are going to be issued about fake terror threats and potential bomb plots and Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, etc. This is done every single year as part of mass media cyclical timeline programming to traumatize people. So I ask the question, is it possible to experience a better life while being traumatized? And the answer is no. If we're perpetually traumatized, whether that's through mass media or traumatized by our spouse or traumatized sometimes by our children, traumatized by our boss at the job or traumatized while we were driving on the freeway and someone cut us off and we got upset. And maybe we traumatized them by saying, you know, you're rolling down our window and shouting at them some words I can't mention here on the show. Is it possible to experience a better life while being traumatized? And the answer is no. In point of fact, much of the quality of our life is based upon our traumatization. And so if we're perpetually traumatized, we will not be able to experience a better life experience. When we heal the trauma and move beyond the trauma, that's when we are able to experience a better life experience on any level and on all levels in point of fact. This includes male-female relationships, by the way, that if you have that traumatic male-female relationship, dysfunctional male-female relationships, it becomes difficult if you maintain that paradigm in your mind. And then, therefore, what you experience as a consequence of that paradigm is perpetual dysfunctional male-female relationships. Why? Because it's based upon a traumatizing experience or experiences in male-female relationships. So you heal the trauma so that you can move beyond that paradigm. So you get the point here. Mass media traumatizes us all the time. It inundates the global population with traumatizing stories and stimulates in the global population extreme levels of fear. This is the mainstream and the alternative news. In point of fact, I'll propose that the alternative news is a much more egregious culprit in these regards. The mainstream news, you may be fearful of swine flu, or you may be fearful of Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. Hey, baby, how you doing? My wife is in the kitchen. She's looking at me. You know, mainstream news, you know, bird flu. You know, baby, what's another one of the mainstream news? I know we don't watch news, but what's one of the ones in the past where they make people all fearful about? Oh, you said swine flu already? Yeah, I already said swine flu. H1N1, you know, mainstream news. Something to be fearful of. We're going to get into some of those, too, in just a moment. Africanized honeybees. How many of y'all remember that one? You know, we're traumatized and we're given all this fear-based programming from them. But, you know, the alternative media does the same thing. Baby, can you give me an example of the alternative news doing the same thing? Come on, baby, just come on, huh?
Alex Jones.
End of the world.
Population control.
Population reduction.
Mm-hmm. What about the one HARP?
HARP as a weapon of mass destruction.
The list goes on.
Any other one you want to make mention of? What about reptilian shapeshitters?
Yes.
Reptilian shapeshitters. See, my wife and I, we've been through all of it. And we've come up out of it too, because we want to experience a better life experience, and we wanted our children to be, you know, to experience a better life experience. And it's difficult to do that when we are being perpetually traumatized. And the alternative news, it perpetuates more fear mongering than the mainstream, because the alternative news tends to project these levels of control to a greater degree. So not only are you, you know, you, it's not just Osama bin Laden, it's not just, you know, Muammar Gaddafi, it's not just Al Qaeda, it's not just Africanized killer bees or, you know, Y2K, or, you know, it's not just that. It, now it's global bankers, it's reptilian shapeshifters, it's Barack Obama, it's FEMA death camps and FEMA coffins, and, you know, it's HAARP. It's, I mean, it just, the list goes of the New World Order, you know, it goes on and on and on. And so the degree of mind control as it relates to fear-based programming is much more profound in the alternative news. But the end result is a lesser life experience, a much more degraded life experience than you can potentially experience. So mass media, both mainstream and alternative, it inundates the global population with traumatizing stories and stimulates in the global population extreme levels of fear. And this is precisely why we must transcend media manipulation.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
And starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Dealer.
George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what ish will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer, and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any ish you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off!
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.